Pete's now going to come and preach on that passage. Do take your Bibles.
Good morning. If you've shut Hebrews chapter 11, please do open it up again. We're going to spend the majority of our time looking at just this one verse and how it recounts the chapter that we heard beautifully read from Joshua. And as we begin this summer, we've been going through the Hebrews' faithful hall of fame. We've been wandering down the corridor and looking at these wonderful examples of faith. People who trusted God and lived that trust out, lived that faith out in their lives. And we've met some really great characters, some wonderful people to be role models. And we've met people like Abraham and Noah and Joseph and Moses. And it's been noble, some great characters, up until today. As we close this series in Hebrews chapter 11, we come to someone we might not expect to be there in the Hall of Fame. Someone that, if we were a kind of a Jewish Christian in the first century, and we were hearing this read, we'd be like, oh, Abraham, Moses, oh, yeah. Rahab? What? Because Rahab, as our passage says, was a prostitute. Rahab, the prostitute, is what Hebrews said. I imagine not many of us would normally head to the red light district to find a prostitute to be our role model. And yet here in Hebrews, she's been placed here as a model for us to follow, as someone to be like. How? Why? Well, let's dive in. Because I think there are at least two big things that Rahab, the prostitute, is able to teach us. And here's the first. Number one, anyone can be saved. Anyone can be saved. Read with me again, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. See, the writer here, he doesn't try and airbrush out Rahab's history, her previous occupation. I mean, he could have done that easily, right? He could have just said, by faith, Rahab, blah, 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 blah. But he doesn't. He makes it really obvious. He says, by faith, the prostitute Rahab. Today, in the 21st century, being a prostitute, I guess we would think it's pretty shameful. Exchanging your body with strangers for money. It's shameful. It's not the kind of career choice we want for our children or our grandchildren. Rightly, we hope that they don't find themselves in that kind of position. It's shameful today. And it would have been shameful back in the first century when Hebrews was written. And it certainly would have been shameful all the way back in Rahab's day. But she's here in the Hall of Fame. To make matters worse, though, she was also a pagan. She was not one of God's chosen people. Joshua chapter 2 told us that she lived in Jericho, a city full of people who ignored God, who rejected God, an evil city. A city so bad that God commanded his people to do away with that city, to wipe it out, Rahab included. So not only was Rahab a prostitute, pretty low morally, but she was a prostitute in the pagan city of Jericho. You could say, you could argue, she was the lowest of the low. And yet, Hebrews chapter 11 includes her and says, she was not killed. Read again, verse 31. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient, with the rest of those of the pagan city of Jericho. She wasn't killed. She was saved, in fact. We heard in Joshua chapter 2, she discussed with the spies, look, please will you save me and my family? Save us alive when you come and destroy the rest of this city. God allowed her to be saved. And we hear about it in Joshua chapter 6. When they come, when the Israelites come and wipe out the city, she is saved, her and her family. And I think the writer of the Hebrews chooses her deliberately because even though she was the lowest of the low, she was saved. She teaches us that anyone can be saved by God. She teaches us that no matter what your background, what life choices you've made in the past, you can be saved. It's simply just not possible to be too bad for God. Maybe there are some of us in this room who question, who wonder, am I good enough for God? Will God let me in? Surely he won't. I've been too bad. Some of us in the room will battle with sin that is shameful. We said in our confession that we're sorry for things that we've thought, things that we've said, things that we've done. Things that if they became known to other people in this room, would mean that we would never be able to return because we would be so ashamed. And yet the wonder of the Christian gospel is that no one is too bad for God. If even Rahab could be saved, even though God knew everything she'd ever done, then you and I can be saved by God, even though he knows everything you and I have ever thought, said, or done. If you want more proof, just look at the life of Jesus. He doesn't avoid sinners. He doesn't avoid the lowest of the low. In fact, as you read through the accounts of his life, he seeks them out. He calls the tax collectors and the sinners to follow him. He goes to dinner with the lowest of the low. Rahab teaches us the wonderful truth that anyone can be saved, which is both a beautiful thing, but also perhaps a challenge to us. I guess it's possible that our danger isn't that we think we're too bad for God. It might be that for some of us, our danger is that we think it's because we're good enough that God will save us. I've met plenty of people in my life who think that God works that way, who thinks that because they've led a respectable life, a vaguely respectable life, they've had a good job, they've paid their tax return on time, they've been to church every now and again, that because they are morally probably just above average, that means God will save them, that God will let them into heaven on the last day. Is that right? Is that true? No! No, it's not! If that was true, then Rahab never stood a chance. She wasn't vaguely respectable. She wasn't a little bit above average. No, God can save anyone, but it's not because of what they do. It's not because we're vaguely respectable that we're just a little bit better than everybody else. So what is it then? Why was Rahab saved? How can even the socially unrespectable be saved? And to be honest, how can the rest of us be saved? Well, the first two words of chapter 11, verse 31, they give us the answer. Those first two words again. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who are disobedient. The second thing that Rahab teaches us is that anyone who has an active faith can be saved. Anyone who has an active faith can be saved. And Rahab, that's why she's saved. She has an active faith, says Hebrews. Specifically, she has faith in God. She believed who God was, and so, as Hebrews says, she acted on it. Did you see the logic in the verse? Allow me to read it again. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who are disobedient. Rahab's faith, by faith, moved her to action. What she believed about God caused her to do something. She welcomed the spies. I mean, welcome, that's possibly a bit of an understatement. I mean, let's be honest, she hid them, right? The narrative in Joshua chapter 2, I was thinking about this, I think it would make probably quite a good drama episode, the kind of thing you'd see on BBC or ITV on a Saturday evening. You can imagine kind of down a dark alley, inside Rahab's small, shabby house with red curtains, there are two Israelite spies talking with her as she straightens the bedclothes out. Somehow their presence has become known to the authorities, and word even makes it to the king. Naturally, the king sends out the Jericho police to her house to arrest the spies and bring them to a deathly justice. The clip zooms in on her house. Outside, there are police. Rahab, it's the Jericho police. Open up. Open the door. We've come for the spies, Rahab. Open up. Open the door, Rahab. You can imagine her heart beating fast as the adrenaline pumps round her body. She opens the door a crack to see big, burly Jericho policemen outside her door. The adrenaline's pumping because up on her roof are two fugitives that she has hidden under the straw. The spies lay silently, hoping that she's not going to give them away. Rahab is in a risky position. Police at her door, fugitives on her roof, serious consequences if she gets found out. Why does she do it? Why doesn't she just give them away? Surely that's the safer thing to do. Well, as Hebrews said, by faith, she had faith in God. And she had a faith that she acted on. See, after the Jericho police have gone and Rahab sent them on their way on a wild goose chase, Rahab explains to the spies why she hides them. She says, chapter 2, verse 9, I know that the Lord has given you, the Israelites, the land, and that the fear of you has fallen on us. Two verses later, she continues, for the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Rahab made her risky choice to hide the spies because she knew that God is in charge, that he's the God of the heavens above and the earth beneath. She knew that God had given the city of Jericho over to the Israelites. She knew that it was only a matter of time before the city was going to be destroyed. She knew it was going to happen. Even though she couldn't see it, she had faith in God. And so she acted. She switches sides from being a Jerichoite to being someone who follows God. She switches sides, even when it was risky and dangerous. Rahab had an active faith. And that's how she's remembered in Hebrews. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, was, because of her faith, was not killed because she welcomed the spies. What might it look like for you and me to have an active faith a bit like Rahab's? I mean, I imagine the implications in some ways could be endless. The possibilities could be endless as we consider in any situation what difference it would make that God is the God of the heavens above and the earth beneath, as we consider the fact that God is in charge. You know, I guess it could make a difference to the way that we spend our time, what we do with our wallets, how we speak to people, what we think. But with the story of Rahab in view, what difference does it make that God is in charge if it becomes harder or riskier to be a Christian, like it was for Rahab. Obviously, not she wasn't a Christian, but she followed God. It certainly looks like it might become riskier, then it might become harder to be a Christian. I mean, it already is, I think, for some. Ask some of the teenagers at church what it's like to be at school and to stick up for Jesus, to speak up for what the Bible says about God's good design for sex, or about what the Bible says about other religions. I mean, it's hard. It'd be risky for some of us to speak up in our social groups or at work for these things. But whose side are we going to be on? Are we going to follow the culture around us? Or be like Rahab, who didn't follow the culture around her, who sided with God, who heard about what he was going to do, the God of the heavens above and the earth below? Will we, no matter what people do or say to us, will we follow the God who is ultimately in charge and can ultimately take us to heaven, who can ultimately, through the Lord Jesus Christ, can save us? Rahab might have been the lowest of the low, but she has plenty to teach us about the Christian life, plenty to include her in the Hebrews Hall of Fame. She teaches us that anyone can be saved and taken to heaven if they have an active faith in the God of the heavens above and the earth below. Let's pray to that God who is in charge now and forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life of Rahab and the way in which you worked in her life. Thank you for her faith and the model it is to us. Thank you that you teach us anyone can be saved, no matter what we're like or what we've done. Please help us to have an active faith like Rahab, to really believe that you're in charge, to allow that to affect what we do and what we say and how we stick up for what you have taught us. Please help us to follow you, no matter how risky or how hard it can be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.